Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining me today. It's a very special episode of Make Wrestling Professional Again. Every episode is special, so sit back, relax, make yourself presentable. Happy Rusev Day! It's time to make wrestling professional again. Hey guys, what's going on? I am the American Professional Alex P. You are listening to Make Wrestling Professional Again. It's a professional wrestling podcast where I go back and rate and review past shows that have taken place in the world of professional wrestling. My name is Alex P. As I said at the top of the show, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/makewrestlingproagain, Twitter @therealproalexp. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and now CastBox. I think I said in the last episode that I was going to check it out. I did. It's super easy to upload things. It's really, it's just very user-friendly, and I dig it, and it seems to be growing exponentially. So you know what? I'm going to continue using CastBox, and yeah, we'll go from there. I kind of want to, like I said, expand my reach a little bit more to do more things. So yeah, we'll see how that works. Music was from Manhattan Blockade. That was Don't Tase Me, Bro. From their EP, Carry This Passion, which you can find on Amazon.com. You can also find them on Spotify, Facebook.com/Manhattan Blockade. Tour dates, you can find bands in town. Just search Manhattan Blockade, and the link will also be in the description of the show. So today, we're going to talk about SmackDown Live from May 1st, 2018, live from Montreal. This was a really fun show. I really dug this show a lot. SmackDown's doing a lot of great things right now. Their roster is stacked. So yeah, it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to see not only the new superstars that they have on SmackDown Live, but also the evolution of some of the current stars that they currently have on SmackDown Live. And we'll get all into that as we go. Let's go ahead and kick things off. And show opens up with a replay of Shane McMahon going through a table at Greatest Royal Rumble, and then zooms out to Paige, who's saying Shane won't be there tonight, obviously. Paige goes on to announce that because of the undetected low blow and the ensuing brawl that ensued at the WWE title match at Greatest Royal Rumble, that she's adding a stipulation to the Backlash match between Shinsuke and AJ. It will now be no disqualification, as you can probably hear the construction equipment outside my house. They're doing a lot of construction. It's ridiculous. I actually got into it with a city employee yesterday because they were blocking my driveway. So, that was fun. Anyway, getting off topic. Big announcement to kick off the show. Paige announces that the WWE title match for Backlash between Shinsuke and AJ will now be no disqualification. So that's going to kind of change the complexion of everything. I don't know if that means Shinsuke is going to be throwing low blows. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's kind of added a new element to it. I'm really looking forward to it. Paige isn't on TV that long. We go out to the ring and Miz TV opens the show. Miz is in the ring wearing that stupid Naruto headband. I don't know what the hell that's about. I kind of wish he would stop. It looks ridiculous. Miz announces that because of his no-show last week, Daniel Bryan is now officially banned from Miz TV. Crowd boos, obviously. And then Miz cuts a quick promo on Seth Rollins saying that he's going to take his title back this Sunday at Backlash. If you didn't know, Backlash is this Sunday. Intercontinental Championship match, Seth Rollins defending his title against The Miz. If The Miz wins, he brings the title, obviously, to SmackDown Live, which I think kind of telegraphs it a little bit, unless they're planning some big... Since they're doing these crossover pay-per-views, I guess they can have... they have a little bit more room to, I guess, hot potato the titles between shows, but I don't like that. Like I said, I think I said on yesterday's show, I'm really not a huge fan of these co-branded pay-per-views. Big Four, I'm all for. Money in the Bank, awesome. But yeah, everything else, I like separate pay-per-views, man. I like my shows to be separate. To me, it's not like chocolate and peanut butter. It's not better together. I don't know. I think that's an unpopular opinion. I think people kind of want the co-branded pay-per-views to come back. I'm not a huge fan of it. No, Miz cuts a very impassioned promo, very quick impassioned promo about how he made the Intercontinental title relevant, which you can't really argue that. But then he cuts the crap, goes on to Miz TV, brings out his guest, Jeff Hardy. Miz is great. Tells Jeff Hardy, yeah, I'd shake your hand, but you just high-fived all those dirty people in the front row. And I forgot my hand sanitizer. It was great. So they sit down, they get comfortable. Jeff Hardy, the current United States champion, sit down, get comfy. And Miz asks Jeff the hard-hitting questions. And the hard-hitting question that he asks Jeff is, so do you think I'm a better Intercontinental champion than Seth Rollins? And Jeff's like, dude, really? Is that what you came out here to ask me? And he ends up running Miz down. And it was kind of generic. It was just like, yeah, if you like spoiled wannabe Hollywood A-listers as champion, then yeah, man, you're a great champion. And Miz didn't take too kindly to that. Then Miz is like, oh, surprise, I'm bringing out Randy Orton. So he brings out Randy Orton. Randy Orton is going to be facing Jeff Hardy this Sunday at Backlash for the United States Championship. And Miz is just trying this whole segment to stir the pot. Jeff's pretty laid back dude for the most part. Randy's just like, whatever. I kind of feel like Randy's a little checked out, to be honest. I don't know. He just kind of seems meh. And like the entire time where like Jeff is, or Miz rather, is trying to stir the pot, Randy Orton's like, look, I'm not mad at Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton are cool. And I'm just sitting here watching this thinking, don't these two have a match on Sunday? Like, there's like absolutely no build to this match except for, you know, Randy Orton won a number one contenders match and now he's number one contender for U.S. title and now he competes for U.S. title. Typically, I'd be upset with that, but this time I'm just like, nah, you know what? It works. It's fine. It's the United States Championship. Yeah, and Randy pretty much says the same thing. He's like, look, I earned my rematch weeks ago. Sunday, I'm taking my title back. And then Shelton Benjamin comes out and he is irate. He is on fire. He's like, no. I beat you last week, referring to Randy Orton, in the middle of that ring. I deserve a shot at the U.S. title. And then as Shelton Benjamin's going into the ring, Randy attacks him, and then Miz attacks, and then brawl ensues. Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton stand tall. We go commercial. We come back from commercial, and a tag team match has already begun. Shelton Benjamin and The Miz versus Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. And my God, this crowd was fire-ass hot. And I love it. I love a hot crowd, man. And I think that's one reason why this show, for me, was so good, was one aspect, especially, was the crowd. The crowd was great. Couple notes during this match that I took. I love the way Shelton Benjamin sold the twist of fate. So, mostly people just go, like, horizontal completely and then just land flat on their stomach. Shelton sold this kind of like a Stone Cold Stunner, where you, like, just the upper half of your body goes down. And then, you just sell it from there. I love it when people sell the Twist of Fate like that. It looks a lot more impactful. And I watch all my wrestling shows on Sling. I was doing Hulu for a while, and then I realized, oh, I don't get the whole show, and I kind of like watching the whole show. So I have Sling TV on my Roku stick, and that's how I watch it. And for a while, they weren't doing the picture-in-picture during the matches when the commercials would be on, and they just recently started doing that, so that's been good. Finish of this match was great. Randy Orton hit double Hangman DDTs on The Miz and Benjamin at the same time, and then waited for Shelton Benjamin to get up, hit him with an RKO, Randy tags in Jeff. Jeff hits a Swanton Bomb, 1-2-3, Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, your winners. And then no sooner did the announcer announce them as the winners that Randy hits Jeff with an RKO out of nowhere. They will be competing for the United States Championship this Sunday at Backlash. I'm actually looking forward to that match. It's one of those matches that, yeah, it could have taken place 15 years ago and still would have been great. These guys haven't, neither one of them, like Randy, I think is, you know, granted, he hasn't been booked very strong lately, but dude's still in his prime. Dude still looks like $1 million. He could still go in the ring. He just needs to, I don't know, recently in some of the matches I've seen, just seems kind of checked out. But I don't know, that could just be me. And, you know, Jeff Hardy, obviously, that dude is ageless. I'm fairly certain he made some kind of deal with the devil, and he just doesn't age. So, yeah, that should be a great match. Renee Young's backstage. We go backstage, and she brings out the Iconics and then announces Carmella, but then no Mella. It's ridiculous. They start, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce start giving Renee Young, they start trying to do impersonations of her, and they do just this like horrible like Minnesota accent, and Renee Young's like, that's not Canadian, that's Minnesota, those are two completely different accents. And they like basically tell her to, you know, go fuck off, go chase a moose, whatever. It was great. I love Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. They're fantastic. Carmella comes out after Renee goes away. Tells the Iconics, he's like, last week you both beat Asuka and Becky Lynch, and 2 weeks ago I beat Charlotte Flair for the Women's Championship. Together we're unstoppable. That basically sets up the match later on in the evening, which is going to be Asuka, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair versus the Iconics and Carmella. That would actually go to main event the show, so we'll get to that once we get to that point. They show a backstage.com segment with Daniel Bryan, and they explain that he is not clear to compete because for fear that the chops that he sustained from Roderick Strong during Greatest Royal Rumble, they were concerned that that would get infected, so he hasn't been cleared to wrestle. I think he should be good by Backlash because it seemed like it was just a precaution because there's a lot of open skin right there, if that makes any sense. So yeah, they explained that Daniel Bryan was not cleared to compete that night, but I think he should be fine come Backlash. The Bar is backstage with their new SmackDown Live contracts. They are officially SmackDown Live superstars, having lost their opportunity to reclaim the vacant Raw Tag Team Championships at Greatest Royal Rumble. So now they are officially part of the SmackDown Live roster. They run into The New Day. And for some reason, Kofi Kingston is wearing latex medical gloves. I don't know why. It was kind of weird. New Day welcomes The Bar to SmackDown Live. And they're like, Mr. Bootiesworth, come. And, this guy wearing a tuxedo t-shirt and what have you brings out a platter of pancakes and gives them to The Bar. They're like, hey, welcome to SmackDown. And then Mr. Bootiesworth gives Piggy some baby oil. He's like, oh, baby oil. And then he starts rubbing it on his chest. I was laughing out loud. It was great. The Bar's like, you know what? We don't want your pancake. First, Sheamus is like, you guys put laxatives in these, didn't you? And they're like, no, we wouldn't poison our pancakes. It's disrespectful. And they throw the pancakes. Sheamus says, one way that you guys could welcome me here on SmackDown Live is with a fight. So I'm challenging you to a fight. And Biggie gets in his face. He's like, oh, you don't mess up, sucker. You want a match? You got it. And then Sheamus is like, I'm not talking to you. And then he looks at Kofi and then he looks at Xavier. He's like, I'm talking to you. I want a match against you tonight. And then Xavier Woods responds, looks dead in his eyes. He's like, Sheamus, tonight your soul is mine. Clear Mortal Kombat reference. I love Xavier Woods. He's great. It was a fantastic segment. I was laughing out loud the entire time because as the Bar was walking away, Kofi and Biggie were just like, yeah, he's going to take your soul. Your soul's his. Yeah. It was so great. I watched the segment like 3 times. It was, I laughed my ass off the entire time. It was great. Another backstage segment with Rusev Day. It's Rusev Day. Aiden English is working out lyrics to a new Rusev Day song. And they're joined by Lana. It was really weird because I haven't seen Lana and Rusev on screen together in any wrestling programming in a really long time. And I noticed that they're slowly taking her accent away. Every time I see her, like a little bit more of her accent goes away. I don't know if they're intentionally doing that or if she just kind of like flubbed up and they only had time for one take. I don't know. But I kind of wish they would just get rid of her accent because Total Divas, like, completely destroyed that kayfabe. So it's just like, they should just be like, yep, this is how it sounds. I'm American. However the hell she talks. But then Lana, says, hey, I have to talk to Rusev for a second alone. And Rusev's like, okay. Looks at Aiden. Hey, man, give us a minute. And she's like, you had a great match against The Undertaker, but you came short. And I kind of have a feeling I know what's holding you back. Insinuating that Aiden English is holding Rusev back. This is interesting. I would like to kind of see this storyline play out where, Lana's like, no, he's holding you back. And then Rusev has to choose between his wife and his, best friend. I don't know, just friend, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of lighting a little bit of a fire right there. So that should be fun. Big Cass comes out to cut a promo and says that a real WWE superstar is 7 feet tall, has super strength. Saying Daniel Bryan's not a real WWE superstar because he looks like all of you and points at the crowd. This promo was great up until a point. One of my favorite lines from this promo was him saying that at Backlash, you won't get a 5-star match. you're going to get a 5-second match. And I loved it. That was great. And then he calls out Daniel Bryan because he doesn't want to wait for Backlash. And they just announced earlier in the show that Daniel Bryan wasn't there because he wasn't medically cleared. So I would have been fine with this segment just going him calling out Daniel Bryan, no one coming out and being like, oh, well, I guess he's chicken, because that would have been a great way for him to get heat. Instead, what they did, I absolutely hate. This has been a trope since I started watching wrestling as a kid. Anytime they have someone who's smaller in stature or just anyone that they want to make fun of when they're not there, they always bring out little people. And I don't know why. It's so disrespectful. It's 2018. I think we need to move on from this as a thing in pro wrestling, because pro wrestling in and of itself has never been an entity that has ever been accused of being progressive. But I think it's time that someone backstage tell whoever books this shit to just be like, look, this is not a good idea. This is going to piss people off. It's not professional. And what am I all about, kids? I'm all about being professional. And I think it's just because someone backstage whose first name is Vince just absolutely loves this shit. Outside of that, I'm not even going to give this segment any more time because it was garbage after the initial promo. I will say that Big Cass, his promo skills just leaps and bounds better than before he left for, or before he got sidelined with injury. Leaps and bounds. Most improved 2018, Big Cass so far. Dude's killing it. I love it. Renee Young comes out after a commercial break. She's out in the ring, brings out WWE champion AJ Styles. He will be taking on Shinsuke Nakamura this Sunday at Backlash in a no disqualification match for the title. She asks him if he should apologize to Shinsuke, and AJ says, what I should have done was left Shinsuke sucking sand in the Arabian desert, which is just great. Calls him a coward. Samoa Joe's music hits and TNA chants start, which I loved. Joe says AJ isn't focused on what's important, and that's his match against Roman Reigns at Backlash. And after he's done, quote, putting the big dog to sleep, which, God, that was such a great line, he's coming for the WWE Championship. He doesn't care if it's AJ. He doesn't care if it's Shinsuke. He is coming for that title. And I cannot wait for what, like, either one of those matches is going to be great. Shinsuke Nakamura's music hits, which I'm going to say officially on the podcast, I love Shinsuke Nakamura's new theme song. It's fantastic. Joe squares up on the ramp. Like, he's ready. Like, he's going to fight Nakamura. He doesn't care. And I love that. And then Nakamura comes out from behind AJ, who's in the ring, low blows him as he's on the ground, kind of just starts slapping him in the head and yelling at him in Japanese, and they hits him with a Kinshasa. Great segment. Loved it. I love new heel Nakamura, because it's like we're getting a completely different superstar. He's dynamic now. He's fun to watch. He's got depth as a character now. Absolutely fantastic. Loved it. Becky Lynch is backstage now talking to Asuka, trying to apologize for last week. Saying that, you know, it was her fault that Asuka lost her first match on SmackDown Live, and she feels horrible about it. Asuka comes up and she's like, hey, forget last week. Tonight we hit back three times as hard. And then Charlotte jumps in and says that, you know, oh, I'm going to get revenge on Carmella. And Asuka, line of the night, the queen, the empress, and straight fire, Avengers, assemble. It was great. Oh, Asuka's adorable. I fucking love Asuka. She's great. Xavier Woods versus Sheamus. I kind of forgot how far back these guys go as far as their history. I totally forgot that The Bar was the one that ended New Day's longest tag team title reign a few years back. So that was a fun little piece of information. Thanks, commentary team, for doing your job and making me remember things that happened in the past. There's a couple really fun spots in this match. This is just a fun match. Cesaro goes to distract the ref, and Big E, in one fluid motion, pulls Cesaro from the apron, puts him on his shoulder for a big ending. Cesaro kind of like shoves off and pushes Big E into a the ring post. Kofi goes to attack. Cesaro ducks him, and then he just like kind of struts away. And as he's strutting away, Xavier Woods hits him with a baseball slide. Match ends with Xavier catching Sheamus in an inside cradle as he's entering the ring. Pins him, your winner, Xavier Woods. And this is a fun match. I really liked it. I liked how they played up the obvious size and strength advantage that Sheamus had over Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods, well, according to WWE 2K18, anyway, Xavier Woods is a cruiserweight. I would love to see him on 205 Live on top of being on SmackDown. I think that would add a whole, just having the New Day as an entity on 205 Live, I think would be fun. Not that 205 Live is bad now. They really don't need Xavier Woods right now. I'm just saying it would be really fun. Next, backstage segment with Paige. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville come back. Absolution. A little Absolution reunion. And I think this is the first time they've been on screen together since Absolution went to SmackDown Live. You know, they're like, oh, reporting for duty, general manager. Like, you know, they're like, oh, they're all buddy-buddy and everything. It's great. Mandy Rose is like, all right, which one of it's going to be? Which one of us is it going to be? And Paige is like, Mandy Rose, you. She's like, yes, I'm getting a women's title shot. And Paige is like, no, you're not getting a title shot. Like, you have to earn it. You have to earn your title shot. You have to earn your title shot like I earned my title shot. Mandy's like, oh, come on. We're friends. We're Absolution. And then that's when Paige did it. She checked the pulse and officially declared Absolution dead. And then the segment ended. And I'm like, what the hell? No. Where's Absolution? Are they officially dead? Are Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville done as a tag team? I don't know. We'll find out. Next, cell phone promo from Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. Words on screen. Fucking words on screen. We can hear. We don't need words on screen. I hate that. It's so middle school and it looks tacky. I hate that shit. Anyway, Zelina Vega, the TLDR of this is basically you don't get to know when Almas is debuts. We'll decide when Almas debuts, and then that was the end of the segment. Main event time, ladies and gentlemen. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Asuka versus the Iconics and WWE SmackDown Live Women's Champion Carmella. This is a really fun match. I know I said on the last episode I don't really like six-person tag team matches, but this was a fun match. The interaction between Carmella and Charlotte, how Carmella just basically did not want any part of Charlotte until Charlotte was in trouble. If she could, you know, vulture tactics, go and pick the bones, yeah, she was all for it. I love that. And I also love how they're still booking Asuka as an absolute monster. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, both were absolutely terrified to step into the ring with Asuka, even after all the crap that they were talking. It was a good match. It was a fun match. Lots of shenanigans happening during this match. End of the match saw Asuka getting the submission victory over Peyton Royce with the Asuka lock, and all the faces stand tall. The Avengers stand tall, and that just makes me sad. Anyway, that was SmackDown Live, ladies and gentlemen, from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It took place May 1st, 2018. It was a great show. I absolutely loved it. There wasn't one point in this show that I felt was a low point, you know, not like a Monday Night Raw. Match of the night, I have to put on to the main event, man. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Asuka versus the Iconics and Carmella. It was a great match. It was fun. I had a good time. This whole show from front to back was just a fun, fun show. So yeah, like I said, I'm working really hard to try and expand the show's reach a little bit more. Like I said at the beginning of the show, on top of being on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, I'm also on CastBox now. Ladies and gentlemen, Manhattan Blockade's going to play me out. This is Don't Tase Me, Bro, off Carry This Passion. You find it on Amazon, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Anyway, kids, that's going to do it for me. Take care. Love ya. Always, in all things, be professional.
Inside, burning hot and bright, expelling darkness with open eyes, a dandelion head in a jaw made of glass, with the heart of a lion, with style and class. Been flexed here, but never break. I'll carry my own coffin, my life.
Hey guys, so usually this is the point of the show where I will add something in that got cut from the original show or that I fucked up on. Don't have that today, so instead you get this. So you get to listen to me talk a little bit more than you normally would. It's kind of like the end credits scene in that Spider-Man movie that just came out, where Captain America is just sitting there talking to you about patience, how sometimes it doesn't pay off. Yeah, it's like that. I'm Captain America. Yeah.